This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 287 for property ID 986035101. The property is owned by Aldo Res LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Scott here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
I will.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. From my point of view, is fairly basic. We bought this property on 7/31/2023. For $428,925,000. We believe the property was on the market for several months prior to that, listed for a price of $475,000 on 6/9/23. They had a pending sale on 6/22 for $475,000, which didn't come to fruition, and then we got it under contract and purchased it. It was a bank-owned property that was previously foreclosed on, but it was on the market for several months. It did sell prior to our purchase in November 9th of '22. For $437,060, and I was, I worked with the county on another property. We bought two properties in Clark County in 2023. The other property we were able to come to an agreement on. This property we weren't. We bought it, like I said, in the middle of the year, the January 1, 24 value that I believe it should be. Is somewhere close to $440,000. In the response from the county, they stated that that this was a seller distress sale, i.e. the seller was under duress to sell it and it was not arm's length. I would argue that that's not true. That even though it was a bank-owned property over the last 8 years, counties have been using purchase prices for property bought from banks as a indicator of fair market value. Previously, years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, banks didn't put their foreclosed properties on the MLS, but that's changed, and we own 164 residential properties in 26 states, and I've never had a county not accept the purchase price as a fair market indicator of the value. The only other comments I would say is we bought it for $428,000. It wasn't in great condition. We had to do some mainly cleanup, painting, new appliances. I would say it was in fair condition. The county's website shows it as building material quality as average, which I would disagree with. And they showed the building condition as average, which I would disagree with. and say both of those should be the number two fair category. You know, the property, we did fix it up, so by the end of the year, that's why I think it should be valued, you know, over our purchase price, but not as significantly as the county has done. And that's my position.
Was it an auction? Was it sold at an auction?
It was sold at an auction. And this auction was open to the public, anybody. In fact, we, you know, over the last 5 years, we only buy auction properties from banks. That's all we buy. And over the last 2 years, you know, a lot more people have been getting into that business, so we haven't been buying as much because it's such an open market. So for Clark County in Washington to state that it's not a fair market value indicator, or it's not arm's length, or it's the seller distress, I will state again, we have properties in 26 states and 164 properties, and I haven't had a county in the last 5 years that has made any argument that this type of transaction is not fair market value, including California and Oregon, which is up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
But I got, you know, so I found that position to be counterproductive or counterintuitive to the rest of the counties and states in the whole country.
Was the auction openly advertised?
Yes. It was, the property was on the MLS.
Well, I know that you said it was listed on the MLS before that, but was the auction advertised there also?
Yes, it was advertised on the MLS, and it was advertised by the broker. What the banks do now is they put it on the MLS, they put it in an auction, and they hire a broker who manages it through the auction process and also tries to market it just like any other home. They got a sign out there for sale, and like I said, they had it listed for sale and had a buyer at $475, but that buyer fell through. I'm under oath here, but based on information and belief from the broker, that the reason that the sale didn't go through is after they inspected the property, they didn't think it was worth the $475, and went back to MLS and back to the auction, and then we bought it.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Alright, close the hearing.
This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 241 for property ID 18822002000. The property is owned by Jennifer Damon. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Jennifer here for the appellant. I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalties or perjury?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So if you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
So basically, I just pulled all the assessments that were made for every single one of my neighbors in my community, And as you see that every one of theirs has consistently gone, were assessed lower this last year, which is keeping with the market conditions of, you know, the sales declining over the last year given the economy. But then if you look at my assessment over the last year, it's gone up. You can see clearly out of range of everyone else's assessment. So just year after year, regardless of the economy's moving up or down or economic factors, the assessor finds a way to really increase my assessment on my property.
Well, you're taking an increase over what it was set at last year. Is that what you're doing?
That's correct. As I mean, the Board of Equalization had weighed in on that case last year and came to that valuation of my property as the true and fair value. And so I would believe that that would be the basis for the subsequent year then, like everybody else's property is.
Well, their properties are not increased based on a percentage increase of properties in the community. Second thing is, we don't use assessed values as a measure for valuing properties. Each property is valued in accordance with its characteristics and what the model says. I know that we all here have history on your plane, but you need to provide us with information showing the true value of your property as opposed to being compared to assessed values of other properties. Having said that, your property has been uniquely valued for the past several years, and it deserves a different, unique valuation than the rest of the properties in the community.
Can somebody please explain why my property would go up 20%? What has changed with my property to make it go up 20% in this last year when everyone else's properties have gone down in value?
As I just said, your property has been uniquely valued in past years, and you did not provide anything to update the data that you previously provided.
I also don't think that the assessor has provided any data to show that the property has increased 20%.
It looks like they have given you an allowance for the remediation of your property against what they feel the property should be worth.
Yeah.
Like I said, you didn't provide them updated information, so they had no basis to do that.
Well, year after year, I have provided inflation statistics data from the National Home Builders Association showing that the cost to make repairs has increased year over year. You know, this is just something I've provided for every single one of these appeals. But regardless, every year they go back to the same formula that was from 2014.
Yeah, but you're valued at 603 and the rest of the properties are in the 800s.
Yeah, and when my house was looked at back in 2014 and I provided the repair estimate, it was approximately 80% of the cost of my property. Today, it's only 40% of the cost. So the assessor has managed to increase the valuation of my property 40% without any actual repairs being made.
As I told you, you did not provide us with that information on the increase in cost to cure. Your appeal has to be complete every year.
Jennifer,
theoretically, look at anything except what's included in your appeal.
Jennifer, unfortunately, the burden falls on the taxpayer. It's probably time, if it was 2014, mm-hmm. to get those estimates updated. And if you decide you can appeal to the state, if you're not happy with the decision that we make today. And as Dan said, I know it might be more difficult, but we really can't use other assessed values as a basis.
So to adjust. I mean, we kind of got off from like the very beginning. The assessor kind of decided that they're using this number and they kind of stuck with it for, you know, 7 years now, when really all they really needed to do is take the percentage of the value of that repair number against what the estimated value of my home was that very first year. And then I wouldn't need to do this very expensive procedure of trying to get re-repair estimates every year, you know, to meet this requirement for this assessment meeting. It costs thousands of dollars to ask these companies to do these repair estimates when you know that you're not going to have them do the repairs. So for that lawsuit, I spent thousands of dollars to get that estimate. It was a percentage of my valuation at that time, and unless repairs had been made, I don't see why at any point it was accepted that the assessor would be able to increase it beyond that percentage of the valuation of my home. But they have, year after year.
The impression I got from reading this is they said they've got you valued at 52% complete, which I guess they're thinking that your house would be worth roughly twice as much as it is right now if the repairs were complete?
At the time that the cost to repair was determined, it was probably close to 80% of my home value. So the fact that they've decided that it's 52% is arbitrary. That's just, they've managed to get my property taxes up some 30% over the last, you know, 10 years out of strictly their own determination, not based in actual, you know, valuation of the needed repairs.
Started in a value not the same as the other values, and you've taken a percentage that those other values have gone up. And if you had other statistics that showed the market has gone up for a percentage, which is fine, you did that, but you didn't give us any indication of how the market for lumber, the market for construction costs have gone up, and you haven't given us a new bid on construction costs. So you've given us nothing to go by, and they have considered it as 50% complete based on what they consider the cost of doing that part of the property. And you have nothing to refute that.
Well, they don't have anything really to show it's 52% either.
They have the presumption of correctness, and you have to prove them wrong. That's the way the assessor works. It's, as Lisa said, it's the burden of the taxpayer to overcome that.
So even though I've been successful the prior years and I've provided all of the information the prior years to show the inflation on the cost of repair over these years, I have to continue to overcome prior years as well. Because I won last year's.
And every year it's a brand new appeal, and we don't have access to anything you gave us last year. It's all archived. So every year you have to re-provide everything.
We do have my assessed value of last year was presumed, which after going to hear in front of you folks was decided that was the presumed value of my home. And if that was the case, then I'm basing my argument this year that if my presumed value was X last year, then how has mine increased so much ahead of all of my peers in the neighborhood over the last year? I mean, at some point, you know, Is my assessed value not even a fact at this point? I mean, I was assessed for a certain amount last night or last year. Either that's correct or it's not correct.
So, Jennifer, Board of Equalization decisions are only good for the year they take place in. The assessor's office has to consider the market value every year as of January 1st. So whether we agree or not with it, they do reassess every single year as of January 1st. And because of the Department of Revenue requirements, the board has to consider evidence submitted 21 business days before the hearing to make a value change. So even if they agree with the assessed value last year, we do need that evidence to show how they can change a value. So things like those bids for repairs, I know they reduced your value last year, but because it has to be reassessed, there's no guarantee that is the value that the assessor's office is going to go with or that the board does. We do need that information, like they were saying. We don't have information from previous years. I know the assessor's office has looked at your 2014 bids before, but Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we received them last year either. I definitely know we don't have them this year, so they would need those bids to review again. I know the assessor's office, it does look like they reduced your value that 50%, but we just don't have access to previous information. The board legally can only look at what you submit this year.
But you do have the option to appeal to the state, and you could provide them with the bids that you have from 2014 and make your case for why those costs have not gone down, and that might be an avenue for you for this year. And then next year, if you appear before us, just make sure that you give us that information year after year.
I guess I mistakenly believed that my assessment, you know, that was agreed on last year should be the basis for going forward, but it seems that's not the case.
Right, that's not the way they,
That's never the case for valuing property. They revalue property every year, as Nelson told you. They revalue property every year. They develop a model, and then they place your property in the model and revalue it every year. And as I said, your property has been uniquely valued every year, so it has to have a unique process every year. And their process was to say they believe it's 52% complete and didn't provide us anything to prove differently.
I don't have any other questions or comments.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
Anything you want to add, Jennifer?
Maybe she hung up.
Is she still there?
Yeah, Jennifer, do you want to add any other information on the record before we close the hearing? If not, we do.
Must have lost her somehow.
Yeah, Jennifer, if you're still there, you have an opportunity to speak, but if not, we do have to close the hearing to move on to the next ones. All right, Dan, it's up to you. I don't hear.
Close the hearing.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. I'm going to move you to the lobby now. One moment, y'all. This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 253 for property ID 986046115. The property is owned by Jason and Natalie Lewis. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Linda McLean here for the assessor's office, and we have Jay here for the appellant. If you could both now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I can't hear you, Linda.
Sorry, I was muted. I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you, Jay, to further explain your appeal.
No questions for me, but thank you for having me this morning. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of request a little more consideration regarding this road that my property abuts to in the back, Northeast Edmonds Road. It's here in East Vancouver. It's a nice road. It's beautiful. It's a half mile long. There's trees on both sides. And unfortunately, there's no speed limit signs posted anywhere. So it turns into a freeway often. You know, with all the, let's face it, kids these days that, you know, soup up their cars with these modified exhaust systems that backfire on purpose, it's incredibly distracting. It's my pets are disturbed by it. I've been woken many nights in the 3 o'clock in the morning because, you know, these people are driving by. There's also a new wave of construction vehicles coming through here off 18th Street to kind of cut through to 162nd. So, you know, those trucks have, they're just loaded with dirt, and my house actually shakes when they drive by. So, you know, I think my concern is mostly, you know, not just noise, but also safety. Since I've been here, it was in 2020, I bought this home, brand new. I've seen four occasions where cars have crashed into people's properties through their backyard, including the person right across the street from me. The house, I mean, thankfully nobody got injured, but the backyard was just obliterated. I've also seen a car on that road from my house that had been in an accident, was on fire, nearly caught some trees on fire too. It's just been constantly a menace. And I feel like there should be a little more consideration due, you know, for that adjustment. I did see the assessor's value, and, you know, there was no change recommended. I think the first comp that was provided is definitely the closest one. It's it is not far from me. They're not exactly up against the road. There's a house of buffer between them and Edmund, so not exactly the same circumstances. The other three comps are nowhere even close to Edmund, so I don't even really feel like they're relevant in this valuation. I did provide a couple others near me, and I didn't realize that we couldn't use 2024 sales, so completely understand removing those. One of them's literally right next to me, so I felt it was just a good comp. But the one that's comp one, I do feel like, you know, they obviously hear the noise from the road. They don't have to see it like I do. My bedroom is 42 feet from that road. For them, they're closer to 120 feet from that road. So definitely, it's not the same circumstance, but it's certainly near that. The other thing is, I looked at the assessor's response, and the last paragraph talks about, you know, the Lewis family property is accessed from Northeast 177th Avenue. However, it does back up to Edmonds. Subject property's value does reflect an adjustment for traffic noise for Edmonds. The problem with that is, in my development, there are houses, models just like mine, that literally the same floor plan and are valued the same as mine, and they're nowhere close to the road. So I can't really believe that that adjustment has been accounted for when it hasn't really you know, change my valuation from my neighbor's. So that's kind of my approach. I mean, if we are going to use Comp 1 as a relevant, you know, property comparable, you know, recently sold in December of 2023 at a price of $214 per square foot, that would put me closer to $580,000 valuation. Now, that home was built before mine. It is bigger, but it's in the neighborhood next to us. So certainly a relevant comparable. And if we're going to use 2023 figures, I feel like that is the most relevant.
Which one is that?
Comp 1. So 1754 Northeast 35 Circle. It sold on the 11th of December 23 for $585,000. And it is 2,727 square feet. Mine's listed as 2,707. I feel like that's incorrect because the builder told me my house was 2,628 square feet. So not sure, maybe, you know, an architect or someone measured incorrectly, but it does look to be a little high.
All right, anything else?
That should be it for me. Thank you.
Okay, Linda?
Okay, good morning. In regards to the square footage, we use exterior dimensions, and stairs are included. So that could be the difference in between what the builder had versus what we have in our system. The traffic noise on your property, we only look at values on what we call miscellaneous codes during physical revaluation. We don't look at them every year if your home is not in physical reval. You're in our revaluation, and you're in what we call cycle 6, so we will be out there physically next year. The appraiser that is going to be doing the valuations out there will be looking at all the homes that have sold. They'll be looking for, we get a noise and traffic study done every year, and it is updated, but it's only used for the physical revaluation area. That's where they're focused. So next year, the appraiser will be re-looking at that traffic and noise adjustment that we do have on your property. It's a very small one at the moment. Probably the last, we're only out there every 6 years. The traffic was not as bad, or we have no sales to substantiate a change because we have to use sales also for compared sales analysis. So hopefully, and I'm putting a note in there, and I don't know who the appraiser is that's going to be out there next year. It'll be this fall where we'll get started. I will have a conversation with them that, you know, they need to take a little more listening. We try and drive out there when the traffic is, or the noise is at its highest. But, you know, if we're not sure of the time, we're out there, you know, from like 9 to like 2 in the afternoon. So if you can give me a time frame when you think it's the highest, we can make sure that, you know, we've got somebody out there, even if they're doing it on their own time, they can, you know, switch their hours a little bit to be able to listen to that thing. And I am sorry that you're having the vehicle accidents and everything. Your home was built in 2020. A lot more people have moved out in that area from when we first started looking, picking up new construction in that area. The sales that we have, because we do use 2023, I tried to find some that were closest to your home as possible with the square footage. The one next door is a little bit higher. The other, Comp 2 and Comp 3 are lower in square footage, and so is Comp 4. And we do have adjustments that we use, which is why that $585 on the sale price is adjusted to the comparable with the information we have in our system. The land value is a little different. They don't have, yours has a negative 2,500 for that noise traffic adjustment. They don't have that, so it's their land is lower, so we a negative on there to get it as close to yours as possible, which is
why you see the all the other land values are marked down to get to that particular value. Same with the bathroom count, bedroom count, the year built. So that's why we don't have it 585. We have to adjust it to your property as all the other comparables are adjusted to your property. I chose comp 4 as being the best comparable because it had the least amount of adjustments. It only had $7,500 off. I do realize that comp 1, which is on the map, you know, it's basically sitting there right next to you. Comp 4 is down the road some, 1,700 square feet, I think. It's 0.74 miles, I'm sorry. But that's how we do our comparables. We try and get them as close to your area. And your subdivisions, we break ours up into what we call neighborhoods. And these are all in the same neighborhood as yours. It's not the same subdivision. So that's how we come up with ours. Sorry, my dog's barking.
I'm surprised you're using comps from 2022. Did you not find any more recent than that?
No.
And we are allowed to look at comps that sold after the 1/1/24 date, Jason, just for your information.
They are. We're not. We have WACs and RCWs, which is why, you know, whatever their decision is not. And our decision is only for a year. So if they lower it, that's for this assessment year, the assessment that you're going to receive in the summer, fall for next year, 25 or 26, won't recognize what they're suggesting or not suggesting. But just so you know how we work on our side.
But you can always come back next year and appeal again if you're still not happy with it.
Yep.
If you could, Lisa, I mean, I used the 3422 Northeast 177th Avenue that sold last year, $675,000. I used that as one of my comps. Not the same floor plan, but yeah, right across the street from me. We're both basically on opposite sides of the road that comes into the community. I'm actually right behind the sign to the community, so I kind of get traffic from Edmonds and 177.
But you're you're asking for 602, correct?
602, yeah, in that ballpark would be fantastic.
Well, I think that's what you listed on your appeal form.
Mm-hmm.
602. Last year you were at 634.
And that's, oh, I'm sorry, Lisa.
No, I was just going to say, I noticed that the assessor dropped a few of their values. I mean, 22, we were still in a more inflated market than we are now. So I don't have any other questions.
Yeah, I don't have any questions on it.
I have no questions. Okay, anything else you want to add?
I don't have anything.
Jason? I don't either.
Okay. All right, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a nice
Appreciate
day.
Your time.
Thank you. Bye.
This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for the two properties before us. The hearings involve petitions number 243 and 421 for property IDs 208-193-000 and 208-194-000. Both of these properties are owned by Geraldine Rowe. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Geraldine here for the appellant. I know we can't see it, but if you could raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your properties as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. As Allison had said, I do have two properties. They are not adjacent, but tangentially. They have a little corner that I guess ties them together.
Yes.
One of them is a flat piece of property, relatively flat. The other one is a sloped property. I've broken them up in my actual appeals form, and I wanted to point out something. On the quick sheet, I reference things as sale one, sale two, sale three, and then show data and a picture of them. On the property, my 1.76 acres or 208193, I've got a sale number two. And if you go to the actual picture of that one, I have said that it had a septic and water, a well, and that needs to be corrected. I should have said no septic or well.
Sale number two.
Yes, it was sale number two. It's property, I can give you the parcel number, sale price.
Is it, are we looking at page 8 in your, which page are we looking at?
It should be on page 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. The sale price is $215,000?
Correct.
And no well and no septic?
No well and no septic. It does have trees. Everything else is correct. And since that period of time, they have a building permit. But that wasn't relevant at the time of the sale.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to point out, because that it was my error. On this quick sheet, which is page 8, that I usually, well, always show, I list in there the value per acre. And the reason I do that is very precise, very clear, and it really delineates the range of the sale prices as well as the assessor's estimate and my estimate for market value. So that's the reason why I do that. I separate properties out by, since they are two properties, one that's comparable and the other one that's also comparable in its range. Let's see.
Now, does your property have well and septic?
No.
Okay. So it's comparable to that sale, too?
Yes. Yes, okay. Concerning that. Now, I know that, like the picture of my one property, the smaller one on page 9, that is to show the slope. But I also say that there is no view, but I guess I should say there is a bad view.
Is that the jump that you talk about?
It's 208193 is the property number, and it's 1.76 acres, and it is on a slope.
Okay, got it.
So I mentioned the junkyard adjacent, but I guess I could put it in bad view.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Let's see where I needed to go. Then there were the other properties. It's really hard to find properties of the exact size, and so I try to get relatively close.
Do you have the date of those sales by any chance someplace?
Yes, I do, and it should be listed on each page. So the ones where I show the pictures, the aerial photos of the property, it lists the sales date.
Oh, there it is. I was looking right over the top of it. It wasn't popping out to me. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay, so the first one would be, I think it's a 1.15 acres, and I list some of the characteristics, perennial stream. For many individuals, that's a positive characteristic. Slope, I don't know what that's characterized because it's clearly buildable. The second one I mentioned, I erroneously listed a septic and well, and that is not the case. I'm sure there is one now since there's a single family home there, but that was not relevant back then. The second property that that I list is a 2.5 acre parcel, and it actually had several sales in the 2023. The one that I'm listing is the 7/12/2023 for the 270, but it also sold for 225 on February 6th of 2023. Since then, a house has been built on the property, and trees were cut. They had a forest practices application in 2024. Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah, no, your information is very clear, so no problem.
Okay, and then now those were the ones for the smaller parcel, and I do have some for the 5 acre comparables too, and I provide photos. Now some of the photos, they should be as current. They're provided on the assessor's, the GIF site, but the data in terms of characteristics, I know that can influence a value, so I've been able to provide some of those. For the first one on page 14, it has a stream, fish stream, and they've since built on the property.
Yep.
The second one is another close to 5 acre parcel. An interesting one. It's one that has a building on it, so it sold for $200,000, but the building is valued at $13,160. So if you look at that, the land value from the sale is actually $186,840. Now on my quick sheet, I use, of course, the total sales price, but if I were to actually calculate the land value, it would be less than what the quick sheet shows because of the intrinsic value of the building. The next one, no well, no septic. It looks like it has previously been cleared, and it has slate slope. It's not the last one. Page 17 is one, and I referenced it in my introduction in the packet, that there was one that had a septic system. So the property was 5 acres. It has a very large building on it with a value of over $80,000, and a septic that was installed in 1993. And both of those things add to the value of the property. Now, in this case, it sold for 5 acres for $260,000, but if you subtract out the $80,000, plus my understanding is, and this is about 5 years ago, a realtor told me that septic systems cost around $20,000. So I don't know if that's an accurate number. That's just information that I had. So if you look at that and you say, okay, the people paid $260,000 and they've got these amenities, it reduces the value of the land. Again, I used the total sales price for the property when I calculate my value per acre.
Got it.
Okay, and pretty much the same, the last one, the 5 acres in Battleground.
2 acres are very
rural, lots of oaks, trees, no well, no septic, and then the value per acre.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things, I did get some information this year from the assessor's office, and I was a little bit perplexed by it. They had sent it to me a few months ago, and they listed it as comparables. So they had comparables for my 1.76 acre parcel, but my understanding is these were sales that should have been in 2023. My sales, that's what I looked up. But the assessors, two of the three for the 1.76 acre were sold in 2022. So I'm not sure about the comparability of that one. And then the other one, it had a Forest Practices Act, but there's was a moratorium on it, and yet it was clear cut, home built within that range. So I don't know what the assessor was trying to compare. Also, I thought moratorium means you can't build in that period of time. And then the 5 acre parcels, of the five, three of them were sold in 2022. And one of those that they included in it was a 1 acre parcel, which to me is not comparable to a 5 acre parcel. So I couldn't find value add in the information that they provided to me.
Got it.
Are there any questions on what I've submitted to you, or something that's not clear?
I don't have any questions. It's very complete.
No, I know questions.
All right, I have just a couple questions because I'm not remembering this all that much. But what is it that makes your property not as valuable as, say, the neighbors? Is there some kind of a canyon across the front of it? Is there something? Looking at the aerial, it appears that the road goes right up to it. There's houses on either side of it. What makes this one not valuable?
Now, are you looking at the 1.76 or the 5?
Nope, I'm looking at the 5 acre one.
You're looking at the 5 acres, yes. There are homes on both sides of it, and the easement, it's a 60-foot easement across the front of the property. So I believe you can see that on the map.
Yes.
It's a private road that accesses several properties. I was trying to add them up in my head, but I won't do that. So it's a fairly steep kind of circuitous road that goes up to them. Once you reach the top of the hill, then the property there is reasonably flat. Now, what's behind the 5-acre parcel is a large utility easement owned by PPL and Northwest Natural Gas. So at one point, just a few years ago, they were looking to put 150-foot electrical towers so that they could meet electrical needs. They didn't do that, but there is a large, and I don't remember the diameter, but like a 40, 48-inch diameter gas line that goes through that easement. And it's towards the back of the property. It's not on my actual property, but it's right adjacent to it.
Okay,
so it's further, if you're looking at the property to the north, which would be looking at it, it would be to your right-hand side. That property is further from that utility easement, and the one to the left would be a little bit closer.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, and my property, it has a lot of trees. It's a mix of older firs, some, of course, vine maple and salal, but some big leaf maple does not have cedar. And it's got berries. Now the other property, if you're looking at one of the things that I find this is not really pleasant to look at, and I pointed it out as the bad view, but it's the junk that the one resident there has accumulated, and it's been there for years. The people right across the street, the residents currently are new, but the previous owners sold to get away from the junk.
Yeah.
So some people it bothers, and I guess other people it doesn't.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
I have no further questions. Lisa or John?
No questions for me.
I'm fine.
Okay. I think we have it. Great.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for hearing me.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Close the hearing.
This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 248 for property ID 204095000. This property is owned by Salute Dragons Commodities Living Trust. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Jill here on behalf of the property. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
It's raised.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I thank you so much. And good morning to everyone. I want to thank you for taking the time to review my property assessment appeal and for being on the BOE. Last year, the BOE felt that a value of $775,000 was appropriate for this house, with $310,000 in land and $465,000 for building. the county assessment, the land went up 2.7%, which sounds reasonable, but the structures went up by 19%. And I know that I can't just go off of numbers here, but just I like to have that background. And per a realtor or mortgage website, I can't recall which, homes in Clark County have sold for 3.7% more than they did a year ago for the median price. The assessor's chosen comps are all between 18 and 26 years newer for the effective year. And although the subject house may have been built with good quality, it has fallen into disrepair over the 44 years since it was built. And I feel that it should be considered at most to be average quality, which would put it on par with the comps that I have. It is wood-sided house, wood structure, wood post holding it up out of the crawl space, and it just was not kept up as needed to in this Pacific Northwest environment. The driveway has deteriorated and is cracked, crumbling, missing some sections. There should be pictures in your packet of those. The sidewalk to the lower yard also has quality issues and is raised out of level, making it an issue to get down to the lower backyard. There are pictures of those as well. The retaining wall beside that sidewalk is also failing, and one landscaper verbally quoted $8,500 to repair it. The assessor, on whenever they're making the comps comparable, I guess, is quoting $85,000 for the 45-year-old pool. And that's a bit more than Angie's List estimate to have a completely new one built, which would have all new lines, components, liner, etc. I feel that my $25,000 allowance for the pool is more appropriate. And some people would prefer to not have a pool. And in those cases, it would be of either a zero or a negative value. The assessor's comp number 6 for $1.075 million, it has a theater room with a wet bar, a mini putting green. It's been upgraded throughout, and all the acreage appears to be very usable. I believe in my packet I have some pictures showing that probably more than half, but I haven't measured, of my acreage is in wetland, unusable condition, which is great for looking at, just not so much as far as being usable for comp stuff. Let's see, the assessor's comp number 5 has a large workshop that is insulated and includes a 9,000-pound car lift, and the kitchen on that one has been remodeled. My workshop is not insulated and does not have a lift, and the kitchen here is plain old 1980s red oak. Let's see. The Windsor Court comp, my number 3, sold on in December 2020 for $610,000, which was my approximate assessment value at that time, and that's also supported by the appraiser value that I had done in July 2020, and that one has now sold for $725,000, and I feel that this is a very good comp for me, even though it has a lot more living space as well as a finished basement and has been renovated throughout. But the house, you know, from the realtor pictures going inside and out, it just looks and feels like mine wants to be, you know, when it grows up. Let's see. I think that is about all that I had to mention. I did want to ask if you had any questions either on what I've said or what's in your information pack.
The number that the assessor has added at the $85,000 at the bottom, is that the pool?
That's what I believe that is.
Okay. I assume that's what it was, but it doesn't indicate that. But...
Right, yeah. I was hoping to get a bit more information on how they came up with their numbers, but we just have what they have, I guess.
So you said the pool is not really functioning? Is it?
Oh, the pool is functioning. Every year I have to do something to fix it, but it is 45 years old.
Okay.
And it doesn't work throughout the year. Like right now, it's been winterized.
Sure.
Yeah, I was where I probably confused you on that was I was saying that if someone were to purchase it and they did not want a pool, you know, then
right.
The value that I assigned of $25,000 would. Yeah. Okay.
And the cost of cure that you have included in here, are those have not been done?
Which cost to cure?
You have at the back end of your appeal.
The garage and the siding.
The siding and.
Okay, the siding I had done prior to the appraisal in 2020. The rotted beams were, they have now been replaced, but not prior to the January 1st, 2024. So
yeah,
I will be taking those out for next year's appeal.
So the siding
estimate here as of 1/1/24 for $26,000.
So that was done prior. That was done in 2020.
No.
The siding.
That $26,000 is for 2024 after this appeal date.
Got it.
And it was fixed this spring.
Okay, you said okay. Said something about the siding being fixed in 2020. You're referring to something else, or did you mean to say?
Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, this is some additional siding that they have to remove to get to the beams and all that.
The other estimate is dated 1/31 of 20, so that's the one that's been done, correct?
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Just so you know, I know we know that it adds value, but the assessor's office doesn't consider retaining walls, driveways, cracked sidewalks. They don't consider those as adding value to the home, I guess, which we all know they do, especially when you're selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I keep bringing it up because, yeah, fair market value is what a buyer would pay, and they're paying for the whole property.
Right.
Yeah. Retaining the wall, yeah.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
Okay, I just have one question for you for next year's thing, because I'm sure I'll be talking to you again. The remodeled or improved since purchase, does that include repairs, or would that be if something increased the house in value as opposed to
generally that means that you've upgraded something as opposed to just repair something that's existing.
Oh, okay. So
it would include, like, for instance, if you had an inferior siding and you put a new siding on, that would be an upgrade. Whereas if you just repaired the boards that were there or repaired it in some fashion to be the same as it was before, that would be a repair as opposed to an upgrade.
Okay. Okay, that helps very much for next year.
Okay, I have no further
right.
questions.
Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, I thank you all so much for your time, and I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is the February 4th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for the property. The hearing before us involves petition number 244 for property ID 986056988. The property is owned by Arthur Sucharus. I'm sorry. It is owned by Arthur. The board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Art here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in, and of course I apologize again for my pronunciation.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you to let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. And I if I could start, I did want to add that I'm a co-owner on the property. I share the home with my fiance, who is at work, so I'm doing the legwork today. One of the reasons I wanted to present today is because there's a assumption made by the appraiser's findings and response that is just not accurate. The assessor claims that one of the comparable sales I submitted in my worksheet were two-story homes with primary suites on the second level with inferior construction, quality of construction. That's not true because I wanted to select homes that were as close to my home as possible. My home is unique because it's 1.5 stories. It's got a primary suite on the main level, two bedrooms and a full bath on the second level. And it's got a very narrow lot. So our lot is 4,100 square feet. And our side yard extends out only 6 feet from our home to the property line. There is very few homes like this in existence in probably any community in America, but certainly in Vancouver. And but there were a handful of sales in my neighborhood. It's the same builder, same quality of construction. So the statement that it's inferior in quality of construction is just not true, because even in the property fact sheets, the category for construction quality grade is average across the board, including for my home. There's no variation there, and the first sale that I used as a comparable sale is a home that was sold in October of 2023 for $549,900. That home is also 1.5 stories tall. It's the other floor plan actually that is 1.5 stories in the community. And so that home has a primary suite on the first level. So the suggestion by the assessor that I only used homes that had bedrooms on the second or primary suites on the second floor is not true, because that one has a primary suite on the first floor. And that home sold for, like I said earlier, $549,900. So if you actually work that out to per square footage value, it comes out to about 266 and change per square foot. And then if you multiply that by my home square footage, you get about $582,000. So significantly below what the assessor believes my home is worth. I understand that the other two comparables are not directly, perhaps are not comparable against my home because they do have their primary suite on the second level, but because they're also rear loading homes, that's why I selected those comparables. Overall, the assessor believes that using ranch style homes as comparables is appropriate. I don't agree with that because ranch style homes have all of their square footage on one level and therefore sit on much larger lots. And so that's why I made every effort to find a home that was as close as possible to my square footage, including in lot size. And there's just not as many comparables out there in my category of home. So I did want to correct that inaccuracy in the assessor's findings. Maybe it was just a mistake that he made, he or she. But the first home is as close as possible to my home design, and that's why I used it. So the assumption that it's not the same is not correct. And so I just wanted to share that with the board and have them consider it in their final review.
Well, all three of the sales that you have used are basically within your same neighborhood, are they not? I mean, they look very close to me. Yeah.
Yes, they're, it's the second, it was the next phase of construction in the community, so it's like a block away, essentially.
Okay.
And I do want to say that those were sold by the developer, so they're not resales.
Yeah. I don't have any questions. I think I understand it.
Yeah. One other quick thing, just to clarify. You talked about a rear loading. That are you talking that you have your garage at the back?
Correct.
Okay. Is there an alley that goes back there or something? Something.
Yes, there's an alley access road for all the homes that have garages in the rear.
Okay. All right, I have no further questions.
No, nor do I.
Nope, I'm good.
All right, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Close the hearing.